My guest at this time is Dr. Jason Peters. He's the Associate Vice President for Connection at Voice of the Martyrs, one of the leading, if not the leading, organization worldwide assisting the persecuted Christian church. Voice of the Martyrs has also published a brand new devotional called I Am N. And N is the transliteration of that symbol you often see representing solidarity with the Christians, particularly in Syria and Iraq, that kind of looks like a dot with a U under it. That is a symbol that ISIS and other militant groups have used to designate folks as followers of the Nazarene or followers of Christ. And if I got any of that wrong, I'm sure Dr. Peters will correct me. But Dr. Peters, first of all, thank you very much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. It's an honor.
Obviously, you've been very active in helping believers. When you look at where the persecution is most intense around the world, the folks who are in the path of ISIS right now are absolutely very near the top of the list, if not at the top of the list. Now, this book is not just dealing with those folks. It focuses on believers in Pakistan, in Iran, Saudi Arabia, and elsewhere, where Christians are very much persecuted. So talk about how this devotional got put together.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Greg, because people, you know, you watch the news and you see things sort of spike. And one of the things that spiked a couple years ago was the Chibok girls from Nigeria facing Boko Haram. We all remember that. And then, of course, you had Al-Shabaab and the attacks in Kenya at the Garissa University. And so we have these little spikes of interest. And now ISIS has dominated the news in recent days. But there are really 9 Islamic hotspots around the world. And these are areas where Christians face Islamic extremists. And many of them have been severely persecuted. And so what we did is we wanted to tell their stories. That's what we've been doing since 1967, telling the stories of persecuted Christians. And so we actually went, I was just in Iraq a few weeks ago again, but we're in the field, we're working in the field all the time, meeting with these brothers and sisters, hearing their stories, and then we put 48 of those stories into a book, which I think people will find very helpful.
We'll get to some of the specific stories in a moment, but when you hear about and read about these stories, and obviously you've been working with Voice of the Martyrs for a while, so you have been able to absorb how folks in these horrific situations of persecution can remain so strong in their faith. You read stories of people losing everything, having family members killed, and yet their love for the Lord only gets stronger. What does that testimony do for you, and what do you hope it does through this book?
Well, it is amazing when you see these brothers and sisters. You know, they're just a part of the family, part of the body of Christ, the universal bride of Christ. And somehow, he gives them grace, which is really remarkable. I mean, they're able to stand. And some of the themes that come out from these stories are themes like sacrifice, courage, faithfulness. And some of the stories and the themes are shocking, really. Some stories about forgiveness and joy. And when you think about what would it take to forgive somebody who raped your daughter or who killed your husband or who burned your house down, I mean, this is incredible. It's only, you know, the hero of the story is Jesus Christ, because he gives grace in these situations that we just can't explain from an earthly perspective.
Let's talk about a couple of these stories now. Early on in the book, there's Abu, who was living in Mosul, a Christian, and confronted by ISIS. And in so many cases, of course, you face that moment. Do you admit that you are a follower of Jesus? And he did, and they gave him a couple other chances to recant, and he wouldn't do it. They were about to kill him, and ultimately they told him, you're a dog, and get out of here, and that sort of thing. There's Kazim in Pakistan, who was committed to preaching the word, and he was nearly murdered, then beaten very badly in prison. When he got out, he was arrested again, and then found out that after he got out of prison that his wife had been taken away and that both of their lives were in severe danger. Talk about the mindset of when everything is on the line in an earthly perspective, how they continue to keep their eyes above.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, Greg, because that's the heart of it. The key to all of this is eternal perspective. I mean, these brothers and sisters, they've got eternal perspective in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. I mean, for one thing, they have a lot fewer possessions. They don't have a comfortable existence. Many of them have been minorities their entire lives. Many of them live in very difficult circumstances. And so in one sense, they've just trained themselves to focus on their eternal reward. And, you know, I think sometimes in the United States, we get a bit comfortable, and it's easy for us to not really have an eternal perspective because we're pretty comfortable here. But these guys, they really have lost so much already. And then when that moment comes and they're asked, are you a Christian or a Muslim? You know, will you say the Shahada? Will you convert? Many of them stand boldly for Christ, and they say, no, I'm a Christian, and even unto death.
Let's talk about a couple different elements that are in this book that oftentimes are kind of treated suspiciously in contemporary Christian culture, at least in the United States. And one is how many different times folks have had their lives dramatically altered by what seemed to be a dream. You have one story about a man named John, I think he was from Afghanistan, who was on the Hajj to fulfill that obligation to Islam. And he had a vision or a dream along the way saying, this is not what you're looking for. I am Jesus. I am the one you're searching for. So when folks read that, some might see that as unbelievable moment. Others might see it as something that just doesn't ring true. So what do you know from those who are persecuted about how frequent that is and how legitimate that is?
Well, it's incredibly frequent. We hear about dreams and visions all the time. And I'll just be honest with you, I've never had a dream or vision personally, but I've met those who have. And when you hear these stories, it's really hard to deny their, you know, the fact that it happened. In fact, it's happening so much that my friend Tom Doyle actually wrote a book called Dreams and Visions. And I mean, Tom and I were both Dallas Seminary grads. That's our background. And so to come into this arena of dreams and visions, it was kind of interesting for us. And it was funny because I remember one story of a guy who said, I had a dream. I started to take notes. When I would wake up, I would hear this, I'd make a note about what I heard from this man in white. And he said, interestingly, I found out later when I ran into a Christian and I shared my notes that it was literally like the Gospel of John, almost word for word, that I was being told in these dreams, and I was writing it down. And I would just say this, Greg, in these contexts, many of the 68 countries we work in, the Bible is in chains. You know, the Bible is not accessible. And so for us, we have Bibles everywhere. But when you don't have access to God's Word, I believe He works in some miraculous ways.
We're talking with Dr. Jason Peters of Voice of the Martyrs. The book is I Am N. It's a devotional. It's 90 days of devotionals. And as you mentioned, 68, I believe, stories of different folks. Some of them obviously blend over from one day to the next. And another issue that comes up a lot, and I think a lot of Christians would agree with this intellectually, but in the moment it often seems difficult, and that's the sovereignty of God in these horrific situations. There's one story of a man when he's confronted with the barrel of a gun saying, you're not going to kill me unless that's the will of God at this point. And they can see that perspective even in the most dire circumstances when, to human minds, obviously the slaughter of Christians wouldn't seem to be the plan of God. So talk about that a little bit and how it's important for them to have that perspective.
Well, it really is a test of faith. I mean, it's easy for us to say, you know, I trust God, He's in control, and I'm just comfortable with that. But we all have had experiences where we have to kind of scratch our head and say, God, you know, what are you doing here? One of the encouraging stories in Scripture that I refer to often in my interactions with persecuted Christians is Genesis 50, where you see Joseph saying, you know, you guys, you threw me in a pit, you wanted me to be killed ultimately, or at least far, far away from home and family and in slavery. And yet God took what you intended for evil, and He's using it for good. And all I can say is we're seeing that happen in so many places. We've got stories. There was a guy who was coming through Lebanon recently. He was actually teaching jihad to ISIS. He came back just transiting through Lebanon. He asked his driver, his taxi driver, he said, do you know where I could find a Bible? And this guy was obviously a little concerned. This fully bearded, robed, you know, teacher of jihad is asking him for a Bible. And he said this phrase, he said, I'm sick of the killing. And it was just interesting because it was like internally God was doing something that in the midst of all this evil, everything horrific that ISIS has done, God is drawing people to Himself. And we're actually seeing many Muslims come to Christ after seeing some of these horrific activities, these brutal actions that ISIS is prosecuting right now.
And we should say at the same time, there are also stories in here of the inexplicable, other than divine intervention, happening to save people's lives. So it's not just a matter of being willing to die in the name of Christ, but also to see how God has intervened in a lot of these different situations. Just a couple of minutes left in our time here, Dr. Peters. You mentioned before that here in the West, particularly in the United States, it's obviously very comfortable to be a Christian. It might be uncomfortable at times to be in the public square talking about it, but nobody's going house to house or burning down churches on a regular basis, as a lot of these other folks are dealing with. So what's the lesson you hope that people of faith who are not enduring this take from these stories?
Well, when we ask those who are persecuted, we say, hey, what can we do for you? How can we help you the most? They always say, pray. That's the first thing. They want us to pray for them. But then it's funny because they'll often follow that up with, and by the way, we're praying for you because we know that you're facing challenges too in your culture. And even though our challenges may not be threatening our physical bodies or, you know, we may not be losing our businesses, although that happens to some, I think our challenge is really to maintain that eternal perspective. That's what they pray for us, and that's what we should pray for them. These stories will introduce you to themes like sacrifice and courage and perseverance and faithfulness, themes that really apply to any Christian's life in any country in the world.
Dr. Peters, tell folks real quick where they can learn more about the work you do on a daily basis.
Yeah, the Voice of the Martyrs is persecution.com is our webpage. And you can learn more about the IMN movement. It includes a book, a small group curriculum, a devotional, an integrity music CD. I mean, there's a lot of ways that people can get engaged in this campaign. And by the way, we've already invested over $5 million in aid directly to ISIS victims. And we're continuing. That's just a part of our work since 1967, helping the persecuted church around the world. So I invite people to pray with us and to get involved.
Persecution.com is the website. The book is IMN. It's a devotional. We've been talking with Dr. Jason Peters, who is the Associate Vice President of Connection for Voice of the Martyrs. Dr. Peters, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks so much, Greg.
I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.